south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, let's start off with a little Latin American boots on the ground story. It happened to me. It could happen to you. Talk about cheap cost of living. Well, the other day I got a flat tire. Man, if you live down here and drive, you're going to get a lot of those. And lots of those flat tires are going to be because you hit a pothole so hard that it actually puts a dent in your rim. Or it jams the tire hard enough so that it breaks the seal between the tire and the rim. Now, for those of you older listeners, you might remember a long time ago, pre-1980s anyway, car tires had tubes in them. Just like these days, bikes and motorcycles still have inner tubes. Well, the advent of tubeless tires was a really big thing, you know. Of course, car inner tubes have disappeared up in the States except for river rafting, right? However, down here in Latin America, using inner tubes in car tires is still alive and well, as a kind of viable last resort, anyway. I know some of you are thinking, especially the ladies, what the hell's Johnny talking about? Just bear with me a little bit, I'm getting to the point. Because, you see, the more potholes you hit and big tumulos, you know, speed bumps that you smack into at high speed, little by little, the more damage you do to your tire rims. Which is, again, why you never want to drive at night unless you absolutely have to and you know the road. At least you know where the potholes and tumulos are. Anyway, after hitting a few of those really deep potholes and having your brains jarred, you also put dents and dings in the rim of that tire. That will happen repeatedly. And eventually, there'll be so many little dents and dings in that rim. Your car mechanic or the guy at the flat tire repair station are called pinchazo stations. That's pinchazo, as in pinch. They seem to be on every street, which is a good thing. Because, mark my words, if you drive regularly, you'll get a couple of flat tires a year, for sure. By the way, the cost to have a flat fix is around $1.50 to $2. Unless, of course, as mentioned, you've hit too many potholes with the same tire, and the rim is a little bit out of round, has a lot of dings and bends in it. Eventually, it won't hold air. It won't maintain a seal any longer. And forthwith, your mechanic or pinchazo guy will say, "Sorry, gringo, your rim's shot." Oh, they'll beat on those dings, bangs, and imperfections trying to make it round again, but there's a point of no return when the metal is too banged up and too irregular to hold a seal anymore. And the cost of a rim, a used one, maybe $15 to $20, and a new one, who knows, you might have to get it from a dealer, and depending on the model, it might run a couple $100. But there's another solution. That is, your little pinchazo or mechanic will say, "You need a rim or I can put in an inner tube." Then it won't matter that the rim won't hold the seal, it's the inner tube doing it. In other words, he's suggesting the cheap way out, offering an inner tube just like they did in the old days, the old-fashioned way. And the cost of that thing, maybe $5. And in the future, if you happen to run over a nail or a sharp object, that does happen, you know, they just repair the inner tube like they do with an inner tube on a bike or a motorcycle with a little patch. So then you'll have the choice. You can get a new rim or a used rim, or do what probably 90 to 95% of Latin car drivers do in that case. Go with the inner tube. I know it sounds funky, but it works. Now, I'm bringing this up, showing you some of the little differences here in Latin America in a culture where everyone, even people driving what you might consider nice new SUVs, make a lot less money than their first world equivalents. For example, up in the States, if you had a nice new BMW SUV, it might cost you $50,000, right? Well, you'll see cars just like it down here in Latin America too, but I'd say at least 70% of them weren't bought new through the local BMW dealership, but were shipped down as wrecks in U.S. auctions for half or less than half the price and repaired on the cheap down here. In fact, I know a lot of Latin professionals, doctors, lawyers, engineers, architects, driving nice late model SUVs and such, and that's how they got their cars. The truth is, they could never afford $40,000 or $50,000 for a car, not even on the payment plan. But they can afford half or a third of that to make it look like they're successful and living large. I mean, it's all about the show, right? However, they're hitting potholes and speed bumps at high speeds too. And believe me, when the time comes that their mechanic or pinchazo guy says, "Man, you need a new rim because I just can't pound out the dings and bangs anymore. Won't hold a seal." Well, do you know what a rim for a late model BMW SUV costs? Something like $400. But a good old-fashioned retro inner tube? $5. And why not? You can't see it. Only your hairdresser knows for sure. Even a rim that's been wanged and banged a few times looks just fine from the outside. So your little mechanic or Pinchazo guy will give you a choice. $5 versus $400? Duh. As long as it looks and rides okay, why not? However, here's the rub. Car mechanics up in the States will tell you it's a bad idea to run just one inner tube in one tire when you've got four tires on that car. Why? Sets up imbalances, they say, especially at high speeds. They'll tell you it puts more stress on the tire and the frame and the rest of the body. Might even set up some unnatural vibrations, especially at high speeds. Well, that's what a mechanic up in the States will tell you. That might be true if you drive like Vin Diesel or Mario Andretti. Is he still alive? Obviously, up in the States, they want you to buy a new rim because they get a nice, fat commission on it. Hey, I'm not saying putting an inner tube in is a perfect solution. It's not, and I bet you if you tried that up in the States and got in an accident, and somehow it was discovered, the insurance probably would deny the claim and put the blame on the inner tube. But that ain't gonna happen down here. If you ever read your insurance policy, which no one ever really does, they all have exclusions like that and a million others, too. Well, as for me, guess what? I'm running on one inner tube right now. Am I worried? Am I scared? Is it dangerous? Can anyone tell I'm riding on one tube? Can you tell when you're driving? Does it feel different? In a word, no. Am I suggesting you do the same? Hey, it's your call. Only remember, down here in Latin America, when your mechanic or Pichazo guy recommends an inner tube, he's not judging you or inferring that you're a cheapskate. He's just giving you the choice he gives everyone who's in that spot. And you know, in a way, it's kind of nice. He's trying to save you some dough. Yeah, like that would ever happen with your mechanic up in the States. All right, so here's what happened to me just a few days ago. Hit a nice big pothole, front left tire. Tire went flat instantly. Pulled over to the side of the road, got the jack out, spare. One of those stupid little donut spares, I might add. I hate those things. Come to think of it, I'd pay extra for a real spare, but one wouldn't fit in the space where that donut is. Bad idea. I'd like to meet the guy who invented those things and clock him in the face, maybe. I can only imagine how many people worldwide really hate that guy. Anyway, I pulled the jack out, went to take the tire up, and guess what? The pothole I hit was so deep, had such a ragged edge, that it bent one of my wheel lugs, and I couldn't get it off. And I knew if I really laid on the tire iron, I'd shear it off, and then what? Now, all this happened outside the city limits of a pretty big Latin city. A couple of blocks from the Pan American Highway, decent neighborhood, nice people. Then, soon enough, and this can only happen in Latin America, people started gathering around, asking if they could help. Two cars even pulled over. That's the gringo advantage, you know, because I was way off the gringo tourist trail, and, well, if you're a gringo, you can count on the fact there are going to be a lot of Latin Good Samaritans out there. Yep, and the two guys that pulled over were upper middle class with nice cars, trying to practice their English on me. So there I was, stuck, and I didn't want to force that lug and break it off. Then where would I be? Ah, but then I remembered, I have car insurance. The cheap third-party kind I pay about $150 a year for, but it is car insurance, which includes complete sort of AAA coverage. Actually, it's sort of AAA coverage on steroids. So I speed dialed the number. They were there in 10 minutes. Realized, yes, I had a problem, and they towed my car to the nearest Pinchazo guy slash mechanic, all covered on my cheap third-party insurance. He said, yep, I'm going to have to break this lug off and put a new one on. I said, yeah, how long is it going to take? He said, maybe an hour. But he said, I have to send my guy out to get you an original replacement part. I said, how much? He said, probably around $10. And as for my labor, he said, is $10 all right? He was negotiating with me, and I thought, hell, $10, no problem. I mean, really, $10 won't even get you an opinion from a car mechanic up in the States. In the end, the whole job, a little under $20. And then he said, you know, I don't have to send my guy out to get you an original lug at the dealer. I could get a universal replacement lug, but the problem is, the nut won't match the ones you've got on the wheels. It's a different style. But that'll only cost you $3 instead of maybe 10 or so. I said, nah, get the original. All right, so there you have it. The guy was trying to save me money all the way down the line. Why? Because this is Latin America, and this happened way off the gringo tourist trail. And I know when you're on the gringo tourist trail, the mechanics will always try to upsell you. Same with health and car insurance. When you're on the trail, they figure gringos have money, they want the best, and they don't mind paying for it. Meanwhile, off the trail, they treat you like you're one of the locals. They're not thinking about a two-tier system, gringo prices versus local prices. Of course, they would if they could, but since there's no gringos around to prove it out, it rarely happens. Oh, and here's another tip. Anytime you take your car to a mechanic or Pinchazo guy, whatever, make sure you bring along an old bed sheet that you're not using anymore. I always do that. Then, as I hand over the keys to the guy, I throw that bed sheet over the driver's seat completely. Why? Because these guys are just loaded with dust and grease, and at some time along the way, they're going to sit in the front seat of your car and just might, and in most cases will, mung up your nice upholstery. Of course, that's not going to happen if you're at the service department of a real dealership like Honda, Nissan, Toyota, whatever. Those dealerships are franchises and will follow first world protocol and bag up your seats, put a protective piece of paper down on the floor, might even cover your steering wheel. Of course, when you roll out of there, you'll be paying first world service and maintenance prices, which in my mind are almost never worth it. You're better off going to a local neighborhood guy. He can do just the same stuff for you at half the cost or much less. But chances are he's going to look like Pigpen's Latino brother. So you have to protect the interior of your car yourself. And I always say give the work to the local neighborhood guys if you can. Just like I always say, skip places like Starbucks, pay half or less, and go to one of the local shops. Give them your business. Screw Taco Bell, Starbucks, Dairy Queen, Krispy Kreme, and all the other first world franchises that have made it down here. But you won't. It's almost impossible for us gringos and expats to avoid those places completely. Yeah, so I'm a hypocrite too. Since I do recommend gringos and expats looking for a brick-and-mortar business to check out franchises that haven't landed down here in Latin America yet. So go ahead, open a franchise, make some money, make a living, even clean up. But as for your own personal consumer choices, skip them and patronize mom-and-pop shops and locally owned and operated places whenever you can. Mixed messages there, right? So shoot me. Like my dear departed dad used to say, he'd say, Johnny, I know a lot of guys that are really good at stuff they hate. Could that be you? Are you good at something you just don't like? Hey, you know, it could start out that way. You're really good at, let's say, working with wood or making stained glass windows. Or maybe you've got more than a knack for painting, writing, mathematics, gardening, whatever. You find you're really good at it, but it's just so damn boring. Even so, if that's the case, in time you'll find if you're really good at it, the compliments will start pouring in. People will want your stuff. You'll get orders. Often with notoriety comes dough. And after a while, you kind of put your own personal stamp on what you're doing. Then, funny enough, as my dad also used to say, if you quit doing what you're really good at, more often than not, you'll work your way right back into it. You hear people talk about that all the time. They say, man, when I retire, I'm never going to work again. I'm just going to lounge around the pool or golf every day. But here's the conundrum. There's nothing quite like the feeling of a job well done, even if it bored the hell out of you while you were doing it. And when it's really well done and people you don't even know start laying on the accolades and compliments, well, that'll take your feelings to an even higher level. And if there's one thing I've learned being here in Latin America almost 30 years now and meeting lots and lots of expat gringos, some of them who stayed and love it, others who've stayed a while and just couldn't get over that initial hump, the fact is, everybody who comes down here has talent, most with many different talents. Problem is, if you're stuck on a treadmill, you might never get a chance to find out. Though, some are lucky enough to find out or stumble into their talent when they're young, but that's generally not the case. Take a guy like Rodney Dangerfield, a comic mentor to so many successful comics today. For how internationally famous he was, he said in an interview once, he was doing comedy part-time and working full-time as a salesman at a hardware store till he was 50-something. So then how do you find your own particular talent or talents? Well, first, you have to jump off the treadmill, turn off the TV, quit watching sports or tone it down, and start trying new things, things you've thought about doing for a long time but never got around to, including traveling to foreign countries. And I'm not talking about Cancun, Playa del Carmen, or Costa Rica, as those lovable Canadians like to call it. Do yourself a favor and skip the gringo tourist trail. Of course, you knew that already. And one of the best ways to kick off that new phase in your life is to come down to one of my expat insider seminars. The next one's going to be in July 2018. Provided, of course, Uncle Sam loosens up the leash enough to let you leave the country for a little trip. Anyway, while I work out the details on the upcoming July seminar, if you're interested in getting in on the early bird discounts and the latest info as I firm up the details, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, with the word seminar in the subject box. All right, continuing on with a very recent second boots on the ground story, this one not only showing you a great example of the cost of living here, but also giving you an update and a very good idea of what's happening with that ever-expanding real estate bubble down here. Now, you've heard me say just in the last few shows, that in almost all medium and large Latin cities off the Gringo tourist trail, it's a truly amazing renter's market. In other words, you can rent houses, apartments, condos, townhouses for way under market value. In fact, in some cases, the deals are unbelievable, as you'll soon find out. Now, I should point out for those of you who are thinking about building once you get down here, you can still build practically anything you want to absolute first world standards with high grade materials for $30 to $40 a square foot. The caveat there is you have to keep your eye on the architect and the builder so they follow your plans and changes to the letter. You know, if you ever built a house, there's always changes. Some tiny and minuscule, like deciding to add a few electrical outlets or moving a door a foot to the left or the right. Or you might find, and this happens a lot, when you're walking through your building as it's being constructed, you decide on some rather big changes. Add another room, expand a few feet to a wall, raise the ceilings, put in a loft, make the garage bigger, whatever. By the way, here in Latin America, you can do that and not go down to any government office and fill out 1,000 permission forms. That means you make the decision and you go. No government delays, no garlic-breathed inspectors breathing down your neck. But you knew that already, right? Anyway, if you're there like a shadow pushing your contractor along, you can easily build a nice first-world-style dwelling for $30 to $40 a square foot. So what's that mean? Well, a brand new 3,000 square foot house for more or less $100,000. Sure, it's mostly about saving tons on labor costs. But remember, too, the fact that here in Latin America at the lumber yards, you've got all kinds of amazing wood. Then you've got real marble and granite at formica prices. That's because all that stuff is available from local sources, which really cuts down on the shipping costs, and there'll be no import taxes either. So when you build a place, you've got all kinds of different savings across the board, along with the fact that basements pretty much do not exist here, except when used as parking lots in commercial buildings. Not to mention Latin houses, no matter how sophisticated, do not have heating and air conditioning ducts, nor do they use double or triple glazed windows, insulation, or extensive weather stripping. Now, all that might sound like a bad thing, but you'll see when you get down here, most of the time that stuff's just not necessary at all. Except if you're living in low elevations or on the coast where it can be extremely hot and you will need air conditioning and you'll have to provide some kind of insulation, maybe ducts, if you're going to air condition the whole house. But as mentioned in a few previous shows, even gringos who can afford it rarely have central air and heating. What they'll usually do if they live in the hot climates is have just one room or two set up and rigged out for air conditioning. I'm the perfect example for that. Over the years, I've had a few beach houses. And of course, in the day, it was damn hot. But I only had the bedrooms rigged out for air conditioning. Now, I've heard a lot of gringos living up north say, if I had a beach house in Latin America, I wouldn't have air conditioning. Hell, you got ceiling fans. That's what beach living's all about. However, let me tell you, you can't really appreciate air conditioning in a bedroom until you've lived down here a while and not just on vacation. I'm talking about the lowlands and coastal areas now, especially when the sun's beating down on your roof all day. That's why gringos and expats are utterly amazed when they finally discover the Altiplano regions. Meanwhile, here in Latin America, especially in the medium and large cities, the massive real estate building boom continues on unabated. It's as if you bought a car and they forgot to install a brake pedal. Sooner or later, you're going to crash and it's going to hurt. In fact, some older gringos and expats tell me it reminds them of the big building boom that went on in the 50s, 60s, and 70s in the States. New office buildings, malls, subdivisions, cranes everywhere. And it's a fact, every time I drive through or visit a medium or large Latin city, there are dozens and dozens of brand new, high-rise, mostly residential towers and office buildings going up. Who's going to buy or rent those things? Who's building them? Well, wouldn't you know it, it's money that won't go into the banking system because it's what they call dirty money. And even if it's clean money, they don't want bank rates of return. They want traditional real estate rates of return, you know, 10, 15%. But man, these projects are heading into a black hole they're never going to come out of. Which brings me to my next boots on the ground story. Nope, I did not say boobs on the ground. I said boots on the ground. Though that does conjure up an image of my grandma. Anyway, just last Sunday, a funny thing happened when I was driving out of Guatemala City, heading down the Pan American Highway for El Salvador. Now, if you've ever been down here and driven that stretch, you know it's an amazing sight to see. I won't go into detail here, but that's where all the upscale and first world subdivisions, malls, gated, guarded communities, well, you could say it's upscale urban sprawl, the new burbs, where just a few years ago there was nothing but cattle, coffee, and sugar plantations. Anyway, when driving south from Guatemala City, as you go out the city limits, you'll find it's like a 50-mile stretch where you see absolutely no slums, all pretty much new construction or recent construction, with hundreds and hundreds of high-end projects too. And though during rush hour and stuff there's lots of traffic, the projects themselves are not congested. So you've got projects and malls, etc., mixed in with horse farms, coffee plantations, and altiplano rainforests. Hard to explain, you have to see it. Now, on that strip, by the way, around 10 miles past the Guatemala city limits on the Pan American Highway, you're out in the boonies. Suddenly, you're in the wealthy wooded burbs with very nice gated guarded communities and the biggest shopping mall in Latin America. I know. You're thinking, who gives a crap about malls? You might even be completely sick of the concept by now. However, that means if you live up and down the Pan American Highway on that 50-mile strip to El Salvador, you've got access to everything. Even places I personally hate. Places that are disgusting and I advise you to avoid, like Starbucks, IHOP, Chuck E. Cheese, Pizza Hut, TGIFs, Applebee's. You know, all those artery-clogging franchises everyone's so addicted to up in the States. But I digress. Aside from that, every step of the way you'll notice gigantic building cranes and even more buildings breaking ground. High-rise residential buildings, business towers, new medium and high-end gated guarded communities. By the way, near that giant sprawling mall, which isn't as ugly as it sounds, driving further south for just 5 minutes, I noticed 7 high-end residential towers that had just gone up in the last year. And last Sunday, I happened to be not 3 blocks away from that high-end mall, on an auxiliary road just 2 blocks from the Pan American Highway, when, surprise, surprise, I saw in the parking lot of one of those high-rise residential towers, they were having an open house. There was a tent in the parking lot, balloons everywhere, milk and cookies, coffee and champagne, and I noticed there were way more realtors than interested lookers. In fact, the parking lot was virtually empty, with only 2 cars and 2 couples standing around. Anyway, pulled into the virtually empty parking lot, got out of my car, grabbed a cookie off the table and a brochure, saw it was a 7-story building with 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartments for sale and rent, walked into the lobby, went up to the desk where a guy was sorting keys, and I said, "How many apartments you got in this building?" And he said, "I don't really know." Then I said, "All right, then how many are owner-occupied? How many are rented?" And he says, "I don't really know that either." And I said, "How long you been working here?" He said, "1.5 years." And I said, "How old is this place?" He said, "Well, it was opened 2.5 years ago." All right, remember that. He said 2.5 years ago. Now we're talking about a building that looks absolutely brand new, but it was finished 2.5 years ago. Of course, all of this was going down in Spanish, and just then, one of the realtors walked up behind me, and I said, "Do you know that this guy behind the counter has been working here 1 year and he doesn't even know how many units exist in this building? Don't you find that strange?" And that's when it struck me by the look on the realtor's face that the info I was asking for would not shine a favorable light on the real estate situation. But the realtor did answer. He said, "We've got 70 units in the building with, get this, 20 occupied." Now, remember, this place opened 2.5 years ago. That's less than 30% occupancy, and they've had 2.5 years to fill it. And it seemed to me they were lying about that number because as I walked through the place and checked out a number of floors, I saw no one and heard no noises except 1 lone barking dog. But man, it was a nice place. Very modern, beautiful gym, beautiful rooftop pool, a totally outfitted bar and karaoke bar too. But again, I saw no one in the gym, no one swimming, no one in the karaoke bar, only the realtors, the guy at the desk, and 2 other couples being shown around. Now, these places were nicely outfitted, and the kitchens, real granite countertops. Of course, they had that crappy pressboard cabinetry that you have everywhere these days, but the countertops, man, they would have been worth a fortune in the States. Now, of course, the places were unfurnished, except the 3 units he showed me. The so-called models, 1, 2, and 3 bedrooms, completely furnished, and man, were they done up nice. Then we got down to the nitty-gritty, the pricing. And of course, I knew by looking around and hearing the numbers, they were desperate. So I asked, "What about the 1,400 square foot 3-bedroom unit?" And here's what he said, $600 a month, which included this $75 a month maintenance fee. That'd be water, garbage pickup, security, etc. Oh, and by the way, with a 3-bedroom, you get 4 underground parking places. Then I said, "Look, there's a huge supply of empty units like this. You know it, and I know it." I said, "How about $400 a month?" He paused a while and then said, "I think we could come to some kind of arrangement. Remember, these places are brand new." Then we looked at the 2-bedroom unit. That was 1,200 square feet. And he said it was $450, maintenance included. And I said, oh, really? I know I could get a place like this for $350 all day long. Then I took out a wad of bills and said, I pay cash, you know. Hey, are you getting it? Are you seeing what's happening here? They've got a huge surplus of brand new houses, high rises, condos, townhouses, in a price range the average Latin just cannot afford. And believe me, this place is in a perfect location. You don't need a car. Safe as can be. You're more than close to everything. You're 2 blocks from the Pan American Highway, 3 blocks from the biggest upscale mall and shopping complex in all of Latin America. That means, for good or for bad, IMAX, Walmart, TGIF, Ace Hardware, Gold's Gym, Forever 21, probably 200 stores. All upscale and landscaped beautifully within walking distance. It's Altiplano and, of course, way off the gringo tourist trail. That means you'll have to know a little Spanish or you'll learn fast. But it is upscale all the way. Now, if you're going to live anywhere in Latin America, you have to ask yourself the following questions. Is the neighborhood good and safe? Would you rather live in an apartment, a house, or a high-rise? Would you like it furnished? Speaking of that, I said to the realtor, you know, I like the way you furnish those 3 apartments. What if I wanted to rent one of those? Oh, he said, no problem, we could do that. I said, how much? He said, oh, maybe another $50 to $100 a month. Man, the guy was practically on his knees begging me to take the place. All right, the next question you should ask if you're going to rent, does the place have a backup generator for electricity if the power goes out? Does it have its own water well with a big cistern so you've got an unlimited supply of water? Is the place secure? Would it be difficult to rob or break into? Next, how far are the nearest grocery stores, restaurants, and shopping areas? Next, how long does it take and how much does it cost to take an Uber or taxi, whatever, to the closest international airport? By the way, I'd say in this case, during rush hour, about an hour. Any other time, half hour. Next question I ask, is it safe and well-lit so you can walk around the premises and around the area at night? You'll want to have very close banks and ATMs, too. What about high-speed internet hookup? Well, all residential towers have that. You'll need a copy of the rental contract to show your lawyer and the rules on pets and security deposits. Anyway, with that beautiful, mostly unoccupied residential tower, it's only 2.5 years old, it passes all those aforementioned tests with flying colors. So that, my friends, is just one example of the state of the real estate bubble here in Latin America. It really is a renter's paradise, so don't let them gouge you. Though if you're looking to rent on the gringo tourist trail, things are a bit different. Where gringos pile in with their dollars, rents are always higher. You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos.